This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan, Reginald Atatula alongside Mike Bassick and Alec Medford here with you on this Thursday in the Metroplex. Hope you're having a wonderful day. We're enjoying it thus far as well. You can get involved with the program by texting into the Franklin & Frankel Injury Attorney text line, 877-881-1053. ESPN, during this list week, as I like to call it, put out a very robust list. The top 100 athletes of the 21st century thus far. Obviously, that means since the year 2000. And this covers all sports, men's and women's. The top 100, according to ESPN. And with that, I mean, I figure we're in the DFW. Who are the DFW athletes that absolutely have to be on this list, in addition to maybe some of our reactions to it? Because, I mean, there's a lot of things happening, and we can start at number one. I'm a little interested that Lionel Messi is three, but Michael Phelps comes in at number one on this list. And I feel like a lot of people can kind of agree with this. 23-time Olympic gold medalist, most golds at a single Olympics, all those things. And he's widely considered now as like the greatest Olympian. That I always have a little bit of pushback to that, Mike, because I feel like you can medal a lot because swimming has so many different events. Now, okay, he's incredible at this. I don't want to try and like knock him down at all. Like, he is incredible because there's plenty of people who have had an opportunity to swim all these various events and have not dominated them like he has. I always find it to be interesting because I feel like swimming is a little bit narrower of a field, and I guess maybe a pool, to utilize the pun, than one of the Olympians that I feel like we should consider in this, Usain Bolt, who is not nearly as high on this list. Usain Bolt, I think, let me see where he comes in.
It was top 20, I know that. Was it close to top 10? It was right around 10.
Yeah, he's 9.
There you go, thank you.
And, I mean, he's an 8-time Olympic gold medalist, but, I mean, you're sprinting in fewer events than the numerous ones that you have in, like, individual and team events that you have in swimming. And, yes, there was a similar dominance, but I feel like the pool of folks who run is a wider pool than folks who swim, especially when you consider that. Like, I frequently cite Usain Bolt as my greatest Olympian. Do you feel like I'm right or wrong here?
I don't think you're either.
Okay.
I think that this is very opinion driven. Here's the deal of not being a sprinter and not being a swimmer.
Mm-hmm.
Is it seems like in swimming, I know these are different meters and stuff like that. I can swim some of the longer distance swim meets in the pool and the sprints. It's impossible for a human to be one of the great 400 guys and 100 guys.
Sure.
They're so different.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know this. In swimming, professional swimmers could tell me, oh, it is what Michael Phelps is able to do,
right?
Like that Bolt, let's say, couldn't do in his sport, to be able to run the 400, the 800, and the 100 and 200 in swimming is just as difficult, and Phelps is able to accomplish that, which is seems impossible to also have the stamina, cardio to do those day after day and medal, where I know that no human has ever been able to, correct me if I'm wrong, be a 100, 200 guy, and then also somewhat a 400 guy too. Like, those are different types of runners.
Super, as highly, highly unlikely. And
can you run for 45 to about 50 seconds, you know, including men and women here, because I just know that Quincy Wilson just ran a 44.44.
Yeah.
And is the fastest human ever at under 18 years old or 18 and under. So can you run at that speed for 40-something seconds while also doing it for 10 seconds? Seems to be different runners.
Yeah.
Where in swimming, it seems like you can accomplish both of those things. You can hit the wall 4 or 8 times and also just hit the wall 1 time and
right,
be the best at both of them.
Okay, so I got my Olympics takeoff, but when it comes to the DFW athletes, is there anyone for you, Mike? I think you're one of the, you know, common DFW sports historians with mm-hmm. your love of basketball, obviously your love of these Texas Rangers. You've been around loving the Cowboys for a very long time. In fact, of late, you've been watching old Cowboys games.
Yeah.
Are there anyone since the turn of the century that you go, if this person is not on the list, it is egregious? Well,
Dirk.
Yes.
Because he was drafted in 98, and in 2000, 2001 is when he started becoming a really good NBA basketball player. So he wasn't very good his rookie year, got a lot better his second year, and by his third year, like, oh my gosh, they really did draft a dude who's going to be a franchise-changing player. So I would say he 100%, but I'll be honest, looking at the Cowboys, the greatest Cowboy from 2000 on, I'm going to assume is one of three guys. I'll give you the list of three, and you can rank them how you feel in the 2000s.
Okay.
Jason Witten, DeMarcus Ware, and Zach Martin. Those are the three guys that I think could be on the list. I haven't looked at everybody on the list. I'm going to assume none of them are on the list. But those are the three Cowboys that I think could be considered top 100 athletes in from 2000 to 2024.
And you assume correctly here. No Cowboys make this list when we talk about, like, even the sports. It's very rare that football players in general made this list. 12 out of the 100 are football players.
Okay.
Compared to 15 soccer players, 17 baseball players, and 24 basketball players. Worth noting, though, that is men's and women's basketball of folks that make it on here. But, like, you see that kind of split there. And yeah, you imagine with the football players, it's going to be a lot of quarterbacks as has largely shown up. But you mentioned Dirk Nowitzki. He is on here, as I'm sure you know. And funny enough, he is on at number 41, which I wonder if they did that just for the cute nod to his jersey. But directly ahead of him are Justin Verlander at 40, Kevin Durant at 39.
Okay, does he have multiple MVPs in his career? I know he has one with Oklahoma City.
I believe he has the one.
Okay, so
I don't know that he has a second.
And then two championships with Golden State.
Correct.
Obviously, the thing is Dallas is going to love Dirk more than any city will ever love Kevin Durant. Nothing against him, but when you start jumping teams like that, you have no city that really feels like you represent them.
Yeah, that's going to be weird, I imagine, in like the longer span of Kevin Durant's legacy. Because, like, who carries your torch? We talk about this in, like, football Hall of Fame type situations where someone has to go into that room of football writers and be like, hey, I am championing this player to let you know how great they are. I don't know that he has a home country in that way when it comes to when he is beyond that time. And maybe there is, you know, just like the way that we have established fandom in sports, maybe there's just going to be Kevin Durant fans that are like continuing to champion him and carry the torch. But it doesn't feel like there's a fan base that'll be like, hey, this is our guy and he was incredible. Let us tell you why. Because Dirk has that in spades.
I will say that I think it's very important to me. It's not important to everybody, but I think more people, the majority of people, would love to be remembered as that was my team. And I get it. Emmitt Smith played for the Cardinals, but everybody, like, he doesn't go to any
Cowboy
Cardinal events.
Yeah.
Like, he's a Cowboy. And so I wonder when you jump teams like that happens. And you are one of the greats of your sport of all time. But you have no team, you have no city that wants you to be really part of their major history or the part of the history. That has to be kind of tough. Because when Kevin Durant's 50 and 60 years old and stuff, and he's representing basketball at certain events, when he goes to Oklahoma City, I'm not saying they won't give him a nice kind of standing ovation, but it will never be like it could have been or should have been. And so I don't know. I think for that, yeah, it's fine. Kevin Durant, I hate saying it, probably a better overall player than Dirk Nowitzki, and I'm not taking anything away from Dirk in that comment.
Yeah, it's interesting because I mentioned this during Crosstalk when we were talking about the list a little bit with Sean and RJ. It feels like the deciding factor when you're doing this is how dominant of a player is this? Does that feel fair as an assessment of this?
Yes and no.
Okay, why the no?
Because of Tiger Woods.
If
Tiger Woods, if most people agree that Jack had a better career, and I know he's not part of the 2000s, but nobody was more dominant in the history of golf than Tiger was in his prime. So the greatest golfer of all time who hits the stage, if I have his years right, in 96. And I get by 08, I think that was his last major championship until he surprisingly won the Masters in, I'm going to say, 2019. I'm not sure if I have my years right. But I would think that he should be top five.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that feels like a major omission, because let me give you the top 10, because I realize I haven't rattled those off. Michael Phelps is at one. Serena Williams.
Yeah, and she's here, the greatest. I think she's the greatest women's tennis player of all
time. Yeah, I think that's absolutely where you would go there with. And that's where I definitely am okay, the dominance there is probably the factor there. Lionel Messi at three, soccer player. LeBron James here at four. And obviously, we're talking about 2000s after. And yeah, I think that matters. Tom Brady at five.
He's the, to me, and this is tough, because then when I say Tiger should be in the top five, who am I? I have to take somebody out. That's always a tough thing. And for me, and this is unfair, Reggie, I would take out Messi, but I don't know. I know how great he is and was, but that would be the person that I have to move out. LeBron James is the Jack of basketball. When I talk about that for golf, Michael Jordan in his prime was better than LeBron. I don't think there's an argument to be made for LeBron in that conversation. But longevity, LeBron's the greatest basketball player ever for the longevity of staying great for the length of time he stayed great. And I can't argue anybody in the history of basketball is anywhere close to LeBron James on how great he has been for over 20 years now. I can't believe he's still this great.
Maybe Kareem. Kareem had, towards the end, he changed.
I would love for you to read that book, Showtime.
Showtime? Okay.
The Magic Johnson, Pat Riley, they were so tired of Kareem his last 2 to 3 years. A little bit with just his attitude, and then also with how slow he was and how they had to slow the game up. They actually, Magic Johnson, in the book, he's not quoted, but they're kind of they liked it better when Michael Thompson came in the game.
Yeah.
Because then they could really play at a pace that they felt like was best for their team. And when Kareem was in, they felt like they kind of had to play at a little bit of a Kareem pace just to give him a little bit of involvement. And that might happen with LeBron, but I can't believe LeBron has reached this age and is still this stinking great. But you're right. Kareem's probably second for longevity of greatness.
Right. So I mentioned Tom Brady's five. Roger Federer, tennis player, six. Simone Biles, who, when we talk about incredible Olympians, she has dominated gymnastics in a way where she has multiple moves named after her.
Can I ask you this?
She's competing well into a time where gymnasts typically don't continue to compete.
What was her first Olympics? This is always tough about Olympics, because the other sports, you can keep competing and being on a high stage for a year, where if you're an Olympian, we only care about the Olympics.
Let me see, because I think that this is going to be is this fourth Olympics? Let me double check that.
Yeah.
She's competing in a way that just does not seem like something that you should be able to do. 2013, 2014, she competed in 16.
16 was her first one. So she's done 16, 20, or whatever it ended
up. So this would be her third.
Third, okay. Yeah, I'm not going to argue too hard on that. I would have Tiger. And I would have Bolt over her right now. But then after this Olympics is over, if she accomplishes what everybody thinks she's going to accomplish, then this list a month from now is a different list.
Well, I think also there's the Olympics, but then also when you talk about her world championships and stuff like gymnastics specific, which I know that for a lot of us, we're not keeping up with the gymnastics specific, but she's dominated that world too. But Tiger comes in at eight right after her. And yeah, it just feels like with the 13 major wins, and for the time that it felt like Tiger was unassailably the best and you could feel comfortable taking Tiger over the field in a sport like that, that just felt like a level of dominance that was unreal.
These people are so tough to separate. I will say this.
Yeah, it does feel like you're picking nits at various points.
I'd love to know. Oh, I know we're almost done here. Where is the line drawn where you're like, okay, now we have drawn the line at these people. There's been a tier almost drawn.
Okay. So let's try and work through it. Nine is Bolt. I think we feel great about that. 10 is Kobe Bryant. 11 is Novak Djokovic. 12 is Nadal. These all feel like greats in their time. Cristiano Ronaldo, 13. Steph Curry, we talk about as probably one of the best of all time at this point already.
Okay, let me ask you this real quick. Steph Curry, Patrick Mahomes is 18. I feel like Patrick Mahomes and Steph Curry are about the same. Now, Steph Curry's closer to the end of his career, but I think having Patrick Mahomes at 18, like nothing against Shaquille O'Neal, nothing against Tim Duncan. They are arguably two of the top 10 greatest basketball players of all time. I feel like Patrick Mahomes
should be higher up there.
To me, yeah.
I think that some of that is, I think we're doing a little projection there, and I'm not saying that it's not right to project it. He's still relatively early in this career. I think we anticipate if he keeps going on this path, which I think he will, he'll be in that place.
I'm not a auto racing person. Lewis Hamilton is 19. Aaron Donald is 20. Here's where I draw the line, and you can help me out with 1 minute. I know we're already over time. Diana Taurasi is 21, so my line is at 20 where the tier is done.
That's where my list was this
well. I think Aaron Donald is arguably the greatest defensive lineman of all time in the history of football. He's in the conversation. I don't think Diana Taurasi, she's great. I'm not trying to take anything away from her, but I don't think she's considered the greatest basketball.
She ends up being in that conversation, and she's had heights, and she has a lot of longevity still playing. But yeah, I think that's probably where I would draw my line as well when it comes to this, like the elite tier of this. But folks mention, Adrian Beltre is in the confines of this list. He comes in at 52. Does that feel, that feels fair? He's right behind Steve Nash and right ahead of he's ahead of Derek Jeter.
Yeah, that was very interesting to me. Now, Jeter obviously accomplished quite a bit in 96, 98, 99, 2000. You know, now 2000 does count, but if you're doing this, you have to take out kind of those first 4 or 5 years of his career where he did a lot of special things.
Some fair points coming in on the text line as we wrap this up from the 972. How is Peyton Manning behind Mahomes since 2000? I think that's a fair question. I know Mahomes looks like he will be one of the greatest, if not the greatest we've ever seen. But I think that Peyton Manning has done enough for us to like put him at that high level already. So that's a fair thing.
And Jason Kidd was on the list. And I know locally, Tamika Catchings was on the list.
Yes, she was. Absolutely. But finally, from the 817, they said Kobe was way, way too high. I do think that we've done a little bit of inflation of Kobe's game after his passing.
Yeah.
Still
a great player, arguably absolutely top 10. But yes, I think that what happened in his unfortunate death does elevate you a hair.
It's the KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3. The Fan, Reginald Adetula, Mike Bassick, Alec Medford hanging out with you. Let's try this. I know that Kevin introduced this segment. Let's give it a shot. It's called Audio Amigos. Let's play some audio clips and react to them from around the world of sports. We'll do it next on The Fan. It's the KNC Masterpiece here on 105 through The Fan. Reginald Adetula here with you alongside Mike Bassick. Alec Medford also here with you. Kevin and Corey not here. They're both on vacation. We have located Kevin. Kevin is in the city of brotherly love. He's in Philadelphia. Doing what? I have no idea. Only God knows. Corey is indisposed at this point. We're putting out feelers. We'll see if we can track him down and give you an idea as to what he's up to. But regardless, we're keeping it rolling here on your home of the Cowboys and Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. Doing all the segments that they typically do, like Audio Amigos, a segment that was debuted a couple weeks back where we go and we just kind of play some various audio from around the world of sports. And as I look down at it, I only just realized, Mike, that it's a lot of basketball audio here. Which I think we both enjoy still, so I'm sure we'll have fun with it. But in the kind of vein of, we were talking about some Olympic athletes like Katie Ledecky, who came in 15th on that list that we were just talking about. USA Basketball, they had their media availability, and one of the things that was talked about, because they're going to the Olympics, is what other Olympic events that they would do. Anthony Edwards, the being the ever-confident man that he is, he believes that he could be a swimmer. In fact, he thinks he's so good at swimming that listen to the audio.
If you could swim in an event at the Olympics, what event would be yours?
Freestyle. You're fast too, though.
You're probably the fastest swimmer.
On the team?
On the team.
For sure. There ain't no swimmers.
Just look at that.
You got Joe, Big MB, you got AD, and Bam. They ain't swimming fast. Brun, he ain't swimming fast. KD, Kawhi, Tatum, they not swimming fast at all. Yeah. So my only challenges are Book, when he might not know how to swim. Drew, he might drown. And Halliburton, oh my God. Halliburton beat me, then I just need to never touch a water.
So first of all, just the confidence of Anthony Edwards. But secondly, do you agree with his breakdown of the team? Because it sounded like he was going to give like, okay, well, this guy, I've seen him swim. He was just like, can't swim fast, probably would drown. It just seems like pure confidence from Anthony Edwards on his assertion that he is absolutely the fastest swimmer on USA Basketball.
I would assume this, I don't know, but Anthony Davis, I think, would have an advantage because he's 6 inches taller or 8 inches taller. I don't know the height. Is it 6'5" or 6'6" for Anthony Edwards?
Yeah, he's right. I think he might be 6'4", in fact, but let me double check on that.
Anthony Davis is close to 7 feet tall, 6'10" to 7 feet tall. And Anthony Davis seems pretty coordinated and athletic at that height.
Anthony Edwards listed at 6'4".
Okay, so I would think Anthony Davis, I have no clue how.
Just better leverage, right?
Yeah, but you just look at swim meets and you see somebody who's 6 inches taller than the competition and you're like, I think the person who's 6 inches shorter is in trouble, because then you start throwing arm length in there and it just starts making it very tough for that person. They are putting in, I don't know, I have no clue if this. I'm going to, five less strokes going from wall to wall.
I could see that.
Like, so just think about how much harder you're having to work at 6'4" versus 6'11" in swimming. Now, that being said, probably I'm going to guess weight-wise, Joel Embiid would not be as good as Anthony Davis, because he's carrying a lot more weight than
big
the
boy.
But then I look at LeBron. LeBron is just a freak of nature. So then I'd be like, and I get it, he's 40 years old. So there's a major advantage when it comes to age for Anthony Edwards. But once again, he's about 4 inches shorter than LeBron James. And LeBron seems to be in supreme condition.
All right, let's see. From the A17, he said, at no time did he actually say he could actually swim in the Olympics. I will say that
he said beating his own teammates.
Sure,
right?
Absolutely, yeah. To be fair. But I think also some of this was the idea of what would you want to compete in. And I think a lot of these guys in the wider clip were very, very self-aware that, hey, these folks that compete at these highest levels, they're incredible, and I am not that. With that being said, and that understanding, gentlemen, if you had to compete in Olympic sport, and I guess Mike, you would just go right to baseball, but are we, because baseball does
Olympic
the hokey pokey. Is it
year.
Okay, it's not this year.
Because in London, they don't have baseball fields.
Ah.
So they were like, so recently, I think 2008 was the last year they had baseball. And you'd have to help me out on where the Olympics have been recently. But there have not been places that baseball is a sport in their country. So they do not have the infrastructure, or for softball either. Softball's been eliminated at times from the Olympics because they're like, we do not have the infrastructure and we don't want to build. You have to have a practice field, at least one, if not two practice fields. Then you have to have at least two practice or two in-game ready to go softball fields.
Right.
Then for baseball, you need two baseball fields that are good to go for games, and you need two facilities for practice.
Okay. Oh, wait, was the last time that was Beijing that it was played. But yeah, okay.
I think they just decided with countries, especially European countries, we're not going to make them build baseball and softball structures.
All right. Maybe even if one that you could do, or one that you would be interested in trying at the Summer Olympics.
I can't run to save my life. Like, I definitely can't now, but I was always slow. If I had to, and I would still get destroyed, is I felt like when I was a teenager or in my 20s, I was a good freestyle swimmer. The other ones, whether it's backstroke, butterfly, all of those, I'm saying all of those because I can't name them all.
Sure.
Not good at them.
Okay.
But swimming, I was pretty good at swimming. Like when it comes to like my baseball teammates at Duncanville, I think I was the fastest freestyle swimmer out of them, which means nothing about how fast you can run. There were plenty of people that were my teammates that could run faster than me, but I could swim in one stroke. I could not do all the others well.
Okay. I think, let me go for handball. I want to try and compete in handball. I think I might be able to do a little something with that, right? We're on a court surface, just running around throwing the ball. I think I can feel if I actually learn what the actual rules are. But watching it, it looks like something I can try. Do you have one? I know you ran a little track. You're a little dangerous there.
That's the one thing I was good at, and I'm still good at. Yeah, it's just like when it comes to track, I'm better at sprinting than I am distance. But I did the whole cross country thing too, which is weird. But okay. Yeah, right. I could probably sprint. But if we're doing the whole flag football thing, you know, if that's going to be a real thing going forward, I'd try that.
All right, let's continue. And Audio Amigos, get you some audio from around the world of sports, really basketball more than anything. Give me cut two here, where Chet Holmgren was being interviewed and he was asked what road stadiums, what road arenas he enjoys playing in the most.
First, Golden State. No order. Top three. I like Miami because it's just like empty. It's like
No. Let me get to it.
No, we know what you mean. They come in late.
It is real.
And it's like,
It was crazy.
It's like a drunk, like.
Oh, it's the best.
They're like,
first quarter?
It gets wild.
Don't worry about that first quarter.
The away team, you just got to build that lead in the first three quarters. And then it just stays quiet for the fourth.
Where's this?
Miami. I mean, It's notoriously as a late arriving crowd. I just find it amazing that, like, now you have actual players being like, hey, I love playing there because they're not going to show up. They're going to be quiet. And if we can get off to a good start, we can shut them up entirely.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing that there are certain places like that, but yet have had great basketball history.
Yeah.
Think about coming into the league, if I have my expansion years right, Charlotte and Miami enter the league at the same time in the late 80s. I want to say 1988.
You're on it.
And think of Charlotte's history and think of Miami's history. Charlotte had to like change team names at one point. Like, did they lose their team completely?
Yeah, they lost their team because the Hornets moved to New Orleans and then they got another one back.
Bobcats, and now they're the Hornets again.
They got to get their name back. Yeah.
In Miami, I can't believe that they don't have better baseball there because so many Latin guys want to be in Miami. So many Americans that are great at baseball are from Florida. There's no state taxes. And yet Miami can't get any interest in the Marlins, and they can't get tons of interest in the Heat, yet they've had a great product for the history of their franchise.
Right. So
all the players want to play. I won't say all, but
a lot of them.
Most of the players want to be Miami Heat. In fact, I remember a few years ago, there was like the Luka rumor of like, if he could choose one city to play in, one team to play for, it would be Miami.
It's kind of amazing because they talk about it a lot, but it might be really a testament to their culture. And I know people get annoyed hearing that. Real quick, last one before we go. This is Rachel Nichols. She joined the Oddball podcast, and she's talking about Bronny James.
The number 55 pick to me is not some crazy valuable resource that, oh my God, they took a guy who might not make the pros, and it might be because of his dad. Who cares?
Right?
like, number 55 pick last year played 4 total minutes in the NBA. Not 4 minutes a game. 4 total minutes from the beginning to the end. The guy before him who was picked number 55 spent the entire regular season in the G League. Not one NBA regular season minute. So, like, I just think we have to be a little bit less precious about, like, oh my God, is he going to be an amazing NBA player? He's picked number 55.
What face are you making?
Rachel over here giving context and nuance and discussion.
I'm sorry.
Come on.
You know what I always say? Second round draft picks are like singles at a strip club. People just throw them around. They see what works, what doesn't work. Let's not pretend that this is something like, oh my God, I can't believe they spent it on him.
Well, I will say this.
Singles at a strip club, Mike.
I'm assuming that the 55th pick the last couple years did not get a 4-year guaranteed NBA contract.
Yeah.
Obviously, they have not been built up from about the age of 12 or 13 is when LeBron James said, I'm playing with this son in the NBA. Like, so you built him into, he is going to be in the NBA, and then it's fine. I'll say this real quick. I went down the rabbit hole of nepotism in the NBA because I thought it was more front office and stuff or coaching staffs more than it was players, and I wanted to do that as a topic. And then I found a lot of examples. I will say 20 to 40 examples at least of nepotism of brothers or sons or whatever getting an NBA job as a player for a short amount of time, usually, sometimes a longer amount of time. And I was like, wow, when you do start looking at it, it has been, and it has nothing to do with like, I'll leave it at that. It just, there has been a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
More than I ever thought there was when you really start seeing how certain players got to be the 12th guy or 14th guy on an NBA team. But this one is different. I get what Rachel Nichols is saying. Right. She is correct. She is stating factual things. At the same time, the 55th pick in all the drafts have not been Michael Jordan's son or Kareem's son or Dirk Nowitzki's son. Like, this is
and seemingly leverage that to get money and probably a place that you're not likely going to be able to sustain. I mean, he scored 12 points last night, but even that, like, that's not, you know, lighting the world on fire in summer league. It just is so much better than what it had previously been in his first few games.
I'll give you a tough one. Over under, he plays more than 4 minutes this year in the NBA.
Total?
Yeah. I think it's over easily.
I think it's over, but I don't think it's over by a ton.
Okay, well then my next question, you're going to say under for sure. Do you think he'll average 4 minutes a game?
No.
Okay.
Well, I don't know that he'll play that many games is really the answer.
Right? Yeah, like
I
think when he does, when he's active, because I do think he'll play some in the G League too. I think that he'll get some G League minutes, but I could see where when the Lakers, who I don't think are going to have a great team, I think LeBron is going to start demanding, I want him to start.
Mm, I didn't even think about the back end of that.
And I'm not saying play 30 minutes in the game, but I want one of these games for LeBron and Bronny to be in the starting lineup together. I think he wants a lot of history in this. And I don't think Bronny's going to get a 20-point game this year in the NBA, but I do think LeBron is going to demand a few other things throughout this process with his son.
There you go. Audio Amigos. It's the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Thanks for hanging out with us on this Thursday in the Metroplex. Coming up next, let's do a little gridiron gravy where we almost got a Hall of Famer returning to the game. I'll discuss it next on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece here on 105 Through the Fan. Reginald Datatula, Mike Bassick, and Alec Medford hanging out with you. Kevin and Corey on vacation for the week, so holding it down as we go along. But always around this time, what you're going to get, Kevin, Corey, or whoever else, is a little bit of around the NFL with gridiron gravy.
Here we go!
Yeah, I didn't really slide into that all that well, but you handled your end perfectly, Alec. I'm proud of you. You're a professional.
I try.
Consummate pro. Mike, are you familiar with Terrell Owens?
My guy.
Your guy? Okay.
No, just kidding. No, I was like, yes, but...
Okay.
No, he it was very tough. He was on the list of, I don't want him on the Cowboys no matter what.
Really?
And so it's always a test of your fandom when you get a player that you're like, no matter what, I don't want him ever wearing our team colors.
Sure.
So that was always very difficult. I was, even with T.O., still a big Dallas Cowboy fan, but very difficult to root for T.O. because I always saw him as the enemy, the ultimate enemy, the way that
with the Eagles and the...
Yeah, and I get it. He was entertaining, and you can look back on it, but running to the star and the George Teague moment.
Shout
and all
out to
that,
George Teague.
It just, it was always tough, him being a Dallas Cowboy. And then ultimately, he kind of really hurt the Cowboys in the end because then it became like, Romo and Witten are doing things and not including me and not including us. And it just became very difficult. And the thing with T.O. ended badly here.
Yeah. I do wonder if it would have ended badly here because someone who is definitely your guy, Tom Brady, it seems like according to or on the Bubba Dub show, Terrell Owens was a guest and he said that he attempted to contact Brady when Antonio Brown left the Buccaneers in 2021. That they needed a veteran wide receiver for the playoffs, and T.O. wrote on social media at the time that he was that wide receiver. Now, of course, at the time, I'm sure we all looked at that as like, hey, that's kind of funny, and I think we talked about it. Uh-huh. But it seems like he really tried to go and do this and reaching out for Tom Brady to see if he could, you know, get a chance to play with the Buccaneers for the playoffs. According to T.O., Tom Brady ignored me. The year that AB went crazy, they just needed someone to fill the holes with AB leaving at the wide receiver position. I reached out to him through Randy and some other people just to come in, play third down, red zone situation. The dude ignored me. It just shows you the lack of respect there. But then when they get in front of you, they want to act like they respect you. Close quotes.
That is from
Terrell Owens.
I'm trying to look this up real quick. What was his last year? And it wasn't very good with Buffalo or Cincinnati. Like, T.O. did not end. It didn't end well. Does that make sense? Like,
no.
It wasn't like, do you
2010 at 37 years old no, with the Cincinnati 2010? Bengals. Was the last time he's on pro football.
And he wanted to play 11 years later in the NFL?
Just on third downs and in the red zone.
Are you kidding me?
I find it amazing that he views this as is this indicative of the thing that I like saying about athletes, that you kind of have to be built different and like have a different mindset where you're just like, you know, 40 something years old, I think 48 at that point, and being
I will give him credit. He was better than I thought when I'm looking up 72 receptions for 983 yards and 9 touchdowns in 2010. Those are still solid numbers in 2010. I didn't think they were that good. But 11 years later, at 48 years old, he was disrespected because at 48, he wasn't considered for a job in the NFL after 11 years off.
Yeah, and I guess for him, it seems like the idea that you wouldn't accept his phone call or whatever is probably more of the disrespect for him. But I'm like, hey, man, that dude was in the middle of a season trying to do that. Yeah. And I forgot.
He wasn't taking calls from Jerry Rice either. he wasn't taking calls. If anybody, and I'm sure that he knew he was completely done, would be Randy Moss. At least he played with Tom Brady. He knows Tom Brady and knows what he could maybe do for Tom Brady.
Sure.
And Randy wasn't crazy enough to think in 2021 that he could still play a premium athletic position in the NFL.
Well, I've forgotten that he had that final season at 37 in 2010 with the Bengals. He was also with the Seahawks in training camp, and he got cut the next season, and that was his last NFL. But I just found that to be amazing that T.O. was like, I got disrespected because that man would not answer my phone call and let me try and play football.
All right, T.O.
Let's move to another wide receiver who is done with his time. Longtime NFL wide receiver Randall Cobb. He hasn't formally announced his retirement, but it looks like he's probably done. He announced Thursday, that Cobb will work with ESPN as a studio analyst for the SEC Network during its season this year. Two-time All-SEC player when he played at Kentucky before he entered the league, played with the Packers, obviously. It was Aaron Rodgers. He spent a little bit of time in Houston, bounced around a little bit of time with the Jets, in fact, as well last season. But are you interested at all in hearing Randall Cobb? Because it feels like, I mean, from what we heard of him, seems like he would be good at that, but I also am not always sure that I can identify who would be great at those jobs.
I don't know. I will tell you this. This is for another topic. Mm-hmm. I'll tease you if you want to do this tomorrow. As tomorrow's the last day, it's the Reggie and Bassick show for at least this week. I wish I was more into college football and had more time. But there's no way. I can't tell you who's good at college football analysis or not. I don't watch enough of it. But that is for maybe a different topic. So I don't know. But listening to Bobby Belt this morning, it sounds like Randall Cobb could be very good in football media.
Yeah, and Bobby would know. Like, Bobby, obviously, our Cowboys insider here at 105 Through the Fan, he spent a lot of time at the Star and engaging with these players on a pretty granular level. And he has a lot of respect for Randall Cobb. And I mean, when he was here, we always viewed him as like a kind of veteran leader guy. And if you're thinking about it, you imagine that's like, you know, well-spoken, be able to communicate those things pretty well. And so you imagine that would translate pretty well to TV as well. So, I mean, wish him the best. And I know for me, I'll probably catch a little bit of that as, you know me, I love me some college football, and I'm sure Carter will catch a lot of that as well. Real quick before we boogie along in gridiron gravy, I did want to get to this, Mike, because I know your guy, T-Law, you're big on him. He'll be wearing some jerseys that are a little bit different, but also something that you've definitely seen before, as the Jags announced earlier today that they're going with a throwback uniform. You remember the 90s, what they call in the Prowler style jersey? So it's the teal with the kind of prowling jaguar on the shoulder.
I know what you're talking about. A full jaguar.
Yeah, not just the jag head. Yeah. And then it doesn't have the weird numbers that they've kind of assimilated. Like now it's kind of a little bit of that older school uniform. For the Jaguars, they announced that throwback uniform. Is that something you're interested in seeing? Because I always associate with like David Garrard and stuff like that.
I associate it with one of my favorite quarterbacks of the 90s, and it's because of the hand that I am, is Mark Brunell.
Ah, yes, lefty.
So I was a big Mark Brunell fan. I also liked Jimmy Smith on the Dallas Cowboys and always thought it was sad that we had to expose him to the expansion draft and that the Jaguars took him. And then when you lost, if you go back and watch 90s football and you watch 1994 is the last year of Alvin Harper and you watch what happens to that offense without Alvin Harper, Kevin Williams comes in, but Kevin Williams was like a slot guy and he was like a third wide receiver who had to become a second wide receiver, had trouble staying healthy. And then you watch Deion Sanders. Deion Sanders, one of the greatest football players of all time. Horrible route runner when you go rewatch those games.
Just an athlete.
But by 96, he's becoming our number two wide receiver. And he's not a wide receiver. He's just a pure athlete out there trying to do certain things. Man, if Jimmy Smith would have stayed with the Dallas Cowboys, and I don't know if he would have developed into the same Jimmy Smith, but let's just say he did, they probably win another Super Bowl because Jimmy Smith is still on the team.
I'm sure that hits a lot of folks in the chest, the idea of like that one more.
You got to be 40-something years old or older to kind of remember that history.
Yeah.
They lost a Pro Bowl tier one, number one receiving option in that expansion draft, losing Jimmy Smith.
You got to be T.O. willing to get in back into the NFL age to remember that is what you're telling me.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's a Gridiron Gravy here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. From the 903, they said, why did they take the full jag off of the jersey? And I don't know. I imagine that's
change. You're not a good organization, you can change your colors and logos and stuff.
It really does feel like sometimes like, hey, we've kind of stunk enough. Like, let's just shift it enough so that there's something fresh happening. Yeah. And I mean that organization after
Falcons
that early
keep changing all kinds of things with their jersey.
And like, I imagine
do something.
I imagine they'll be changing for quite a while. KNC Masterpiece here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, tomorrow sees the Rangers start the second half of the season, or I guess the unofficial second half of the baseball season, the stretch run towards the postseason. Why? What is the big importance of the next 10 games and the next month of baseball for your Rangers? Coming up out of the break. We'll discuss that next on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece here on 105 Through The Fan. Reginald Datatula, Mike Bassick, and Alec Medford hanging out with you. Kevin and Corey on vacation for the week, so holding it down as we go along. But always around this time, what you're going to get, Kevin, Corey, or whoever else, is a little bit of around the NFL with Gridiron Gravy.
Here we go!
Yeah, I didn't really slide into that all that well, but you handled your end perfectly, Alec. I'm proud of you. You're a professional.
I try.
Consummate pro. Mike, are you familiar with Terrell Owens?
My guy.
Your guy? Okay.
No, just kidding. No, I was like, yes, but
okay.
No, he it was very tough. He was on the list of I don't want him on the Cowboys no matter what.
Really?
And so it's always a test of your fandom. When you get a player that you're like, no matter what, I don't want him ever wearing our team colors.
Sure.
So that was always very difficult. I was, even with T.O., still a big Dallas Cowboy fan, but very difficult to root for T.O. because I always saw him as the enemy, the ultimate enemy, the way that
he... Yeah, with the Eagles and the...
Yeah, I get it. He was entertaining, and you can look back on it, but running to the star and the George Teague moment
Shout
and all that.
Shout out to George Teague.
It just... it was always tough, him being a Dallas Cowboy. And then ultimately, he kind of really hurt the Cowboys in the end because then it became like, Romo and Witten are doing things and not including me and not including us. And it just became very difficult. And the thing with T.O. ended badly here.
Yeah. I do wonder if it would have ended badly here because someone who is definitely your guy, Tom Brady, it seems like according to or on the Bubba Dub show, Terrell Owens was a guest and he said that he attempted to contact Brady when Antonio Brown left the Buccaneers in 2021. That they needed a veteran wide receiver for the playoffs, and T.O. wrote on social media at the time, that he was that wide receiver. Now, of course, at the time, I'm sure we all looked at that as like, hey, that's kind of funny, and yeah. I think we talked about it. Uh-huh. But it seems like he really tried to go and do this and reaching out for Tom Brady to see if he could, you know, get a chance to play with the Buccaneers for the playoffs. According to T.O., Tom Brady ignored me. The year that A.B. went crazy, they just needed someone to fill the holes with A.B. leaving at the wide receiver position. I reached out to him through Randy and some other people just to come in, play third down, red zone situation. The dude ignored me. It just shows you the lack of respect there. But then when they get in front of you, they want to act like they respect you. Close quotes.
That is from
Terrell Owens.
I'm trying to look this up real quick. What was his last year? And it wasn't very good with Buffalo or Cincinnati. Like, T.O. did not end. It didn't end well. Does that make sense? Like,
no.
It wasn't like, do you
2010 at 37 years old no, with the Cincinnati 2010? Bengals. Was that the last time he's on pro football?
And he wanted to play 11 years later in the NFL?
Just on third downs and in the red zone.
Are you kidding me?
I find it amazing that he views this as this. Like, is this indicative of the thing that I like saying about athletes, that you kind of have to be built different and like have a different mindset where you're just like, you know, 40 something years old, I think 48 at that point, and being
I will give him credit. He was better than I thought when I'm looking up 72 receptions for 983 yards and 9 touchdowns in 2010. Those are still solid numbers in 2010. I didn't think they were that good. 11 years later, at 48 years old, he was disrespected because at 48, he wasn't considered for a job in the NFL after 11 years off.
Yeah, and I guess for him, it seems like the idea that you wouldn't accept his phone call or whatever is probably more of the disrespect for him. But I'm like, hey, man, that dude was in the middle of a season trying to do that. Yeah. And I forgot.
He wasn't taking calls from Jerry Rice either. he wasn't taking calls. If anybody, and I'm sure that he knew he was completely done, would be Randy Moss. At least he played with Tom Brady. He knows Tom Brady and knows what he could maybe do for Tom Brady.
Sure.
And Randy wasn't crazy enough to think in 2021 that he could still play a premium athletic position in the NFL.
Well, I've forgotten that he had that final season at 37 in 2010 with the Bengals. He was also with the Seahawks in training camp, and he got cut the next season, and that was his last NFL. But yes, yeah, I just found that to be amazing that T.O. was like, I got disrespected because that man would not answer my phone call and let me try and play football.
All right, T.O.
Let's move to another wide receiver who is done with his time. Longtime NFL wide receiver Randall Cobb. He hasn't formally announced his retirement, but it looks like he's probably done. He announced earlier today, that Cobb will work with ESPN as a studio analyst for the SEC Network during its season this year. Two-time All-SEC player when he played at Kentucky before he entered the league, played with the Packers. Obviously, was Aaron Rodgers. We spent a little bit of time here, a little bit of time in Houston, bounced around a little bit of time with the Jets, in fact, as well last season. But are you interested at all in hearing Randall Cobb? Because it feels like, I mean, from what we heard of him, seems like he would be good at that, but I also am not always sure that I can identify who would be great at those jobs.
I don't know. I will tell you this. This is for another topic. Mm-hmm. I'll tease you if you want to do this tomorrow. Tomorrow's the last day. It's the Reggie and Bassick show for at least this week. I wish I was more into college football and had more time, but there's no way. I can't tell you who's good at college football analysis or not. I don't watch enough of it, but that is for maybe a different topic. So I don't know. But listening to Bobby Belt this morning, it sounds like Randall Cobb could be very good in football media.
Yeah, and Bobby would know. Like, Bobby, obviously, our Cowboys insider here at 105 Through the Fan, he spent a lot of time at the Star and engaging with these players on a pretty granular level. And he has a lot of respect for Randall Cobb. And, I mean, when he was here, we always viewed him as like a kind of veteran leader guy. And that's, I mean, if you're thinking about it, you imagine that's like, you know, well-spoken, be able to communicate those things pretty well. And so you imagine that would translate pretty well to TV as well. So, I mean, wish him the best. And I know for me, I'll probably catch a little bit of that as, you know me, I love me some college football, and I'm sure Carter will catch a lot of that as well. Real quick before we boogie along in Gridiron Gravy, I did want to get to this, Mike, because I know your guy, T-Law, you're big on him. He'll be wearing some jerseys that are a little bit different, but also something that you've definitely seen before, as the Jags announced earlier today that they're going with a throwback uniform. You remember the 90s, what they call in the prowler style jersey? So it's the teal with the kind of prowling jaguar on the shoulder.
I know what you're talking about. A full jaguar.
Yeah, not just the jag head. Yeah. And then it doesn't have the weird numbers that they've kind of assimilated. Like now it's kind of a little bit of that older school uniform. For the Jaguars, they announced that throwback uniform. Is that something you're interested in seeing? Because I always associate with like David Garrard and stuff like that.
I associate it with one of my favorite quarterbacks of the 90s, and it's because of the hand that I am, is Mark Brunell.
Ah, yes, lefty.
So I was a big Mark Brunell fan. I also liked Jimmy Smith on the Dallas Cowboys and always thought it was sad that we had to expose him to the expansion draft and that the Jaguars took him. And then when you lost, if you go back and watch 90s football and you watch 1994 is the last year of Alvin Harper and you watch what happens to that offense without Alvin Harper, Kevin Williams comes in, but Kevin Williams was like a slot guy and he was like a third wide receiver who had to become a second wide receiver, had trouble staying healthy. And then you watch Deion Sanders, one of the greatest football players of all time. Horrible route runner when you go rewatch those games.
Just an athlete.
But by 96, he's becoming our number two wide receiver. And he's not a wide receiver. He's just a pure athlete out there trying to do certain things. Man, if Jimmy Smith would have stayed with the Dallas Cowboys, and I don't know if he would have developed into the same Jimmy Smith, but let's just say he did, they probably win another Super Bowl because Jimmy Smith is still on the team.
I'm sure that hits a lot of folks in the chest, the idea of like that one more.
You got to be 40-something years old or older to kind of remember that history.
Yeah.
They lost a Pro Bowl tier one, number one receiving option in that expansion draft, losing Jimmy Smith.
You got to be T.O. willing to get in back into the NFL age to remember that is what you're telling me.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's Gridiron Gravy here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. From the 903, they said, why did they take the full jag off of the jersey? And I don't know. I imagine that's
just change. You're not a good organization, you can change your colors and logos and stuff.
It really does feel like sometimes like, hey, we've kind of stunk enough. Like, let's just shift it enough so that there's something fresh happening. Yeah. And I mean that organization
the
after
Falcons
that early
keep changing
time,
all kinds of things with their jersey.
And I imagine
do something.
I imagine they'll be changing for quite a while. KNC Masterpiece here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, tomorrow sees the Rangers start the second half of the season, or I guess the unofficial second half of the baseball season, the stretch run towards the postseason. Why? What is the big importance of the next 10 games and the next month of baseball for your Rangers? Coming up out of the break. We'll discuss that next on The Fan.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.